okay. Amen. Thank you so much, Michelle. Can you pray for us, please? Open us up in prayer. Thank
Dear
you
Lord,
so much.
We just ask that you shower your favor over tonight's lesson and that
Amen.
Everybody here has ears to hear your message. We're all in great need, Lord, at this time. We've come to you in prayer and just humbled heart that we just ask that you watch over us and give us guidance this day. And Lord, we say thank you to Phil and Jamel and bless them for opening up their home every week for care group and giving a very valuable lesson, Lord. We just ask that you just bless all of us with your words of wisdom and that you have a strong message for us this evening. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Michelle, for that prayer. Really appreciate it. Yeah, you know, it's been a tough day. I mean, I knew that it was a tough week because some of you called, but I mean, I knew that it was like a really tough week. You know, and I just felt like in the Holy Spirit just now, like when I was praying and worshiping God tonight, I just felt like we needed to teach on just these tricks of the enemy, you know, that attack us. I mean, mine is low self-esteem. I've always had real low self-esteem because I grew up with people that didn't look like me. You know, I was the only one. I was the weirdo. And I just, that and everything that happened in my life when I was a kid just made me have this low self-esteem. And the enemy uses it to really get at me. That and other fears, you know. And when things are going bad for us, it's very, very difficult to stay on focus and you know, to try to really stay on fire for Christ. It's not easy. Let's go to John 16, chapter 33. Tonight we're going to teach on overcoming the tricks of the enemy. Basically, I'm going to teach on overcoming low self-esteem.
John what?
John chapter 16, verse 33. John chapter 16, verse 33. In this amazing chapter, there's a lot of things going on. I mean, John 16:33. So in John 16:33, there was some real cool stuff going on. It's the last little bit of scripture in this book. Who's got it?
Got it.
Go ahead.
Okay, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Amen. I have told you all.
Church on Sunday too.
I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. Jesus summed it all up. He had told them all night long, tying everything together. With these words he told them to take courage in spite of the inevitable struggles that we're all going to have as Christians. In spite of the fact that we're going to face horrible trials, that we're going to be persecuted for crimes we didn't commit, that we're going to be lied about, gossiped about, cheated about. And Jesus made it clear that they would not be alone. Jesus does not abandon us to our struggles either. If we remember that the ultimate victory has already been won, we can claim the peace of Christ in the most troublesome of times. And I'm telling you what, when it gets bad, you got to start going back to basic scripture, baby. You got to start going back to the promises that Jesus made to the disciples and to everyone when he was here on the earth. You know, the Bible is an amazing book written over 1,500 years by all sorts of people. Kings, prophets, rich people, poor people. But the Holy Spirit is a predominant theme through all of these books. And they speak to us. When these books were written, these people were under the anointing of the Holy Spirit in such a way that Christ is revealed to us when we read them. The Christian life is basically an overcoming life. Even though we will definitely have problems and personal struggles, we won't be able to overcome anything because of Jesus. Loneliness, guilt, fear, bitterness, discouragement. I think about stuff I go through. Sinful habits. All of us have sinful habits. All of us have trials that we're going through. You know, it's funny because I hear people's trials all the time. They call me. I'm the church trial listener. From pastors all the way down to new peeps. They tell me their trials and I listen to them. And you know what? This is one thing. You can take this to the bank. This is directly from Holy Spirit headquarters. Satan gives you exactly the trials that fear you the most. The ones he knows your weaknesses are when he calls in his team and they come in and they come and get you. If you have a problem with alcoholism, boy, you're going to be tempted to drink. If you have a problem with lust, oh boy, he's going to pull all the girls in the office complex after you. If you have a problem with spending money or an addictive habit like shopping, oh my goodness, you're going to find every single possible excuse to go to the mall and burn up that credit card. Every single trick he has had centuries to hone. He is very good at what he does. He goes and he blankets all of his victims with a bunch of truth. And then he deceitfully embeds the lies within the truth so that they eat it up like manna. They don't even know they're being lied to and deceived. God wants you to live an overcoming life. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I know you guys are struggling to get there, but you've got it? Amen. Let's hear it.
I do. Therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Not guilty. Let them go free. What would those words mean to you if you were on death row?
Life.
The fact is that the whole human race is on death row. Justly condemned for repeatedly breaking God's holy law. Without Jesus, we would have no hope at all. But thank God he has declared us not guilty and has offered us freedom from sin and power to do his will. It's an amazing thing when you really grasp onto Jesus Christ and really humble yourself. You know, my wife, I don't know how you guys are with your spouse, but maybe you admit your faults immediately. And get on your knees and admit you were wrong. Okay? With me, it takes a couple days. My wife has never done it. Okay? Just letting you know. All right?
That's
but
totally not true.
She told me a couple days ago that I needed to humble myself, change my ways, and push into Christ. And I was being prideful all day about it because I didn't want to humble myself. I didn't want to push into Christ because we're going through just a little an irritable trial that we've been dealing with that Satan gave us. And it's just been irritable. And she's right. I need to humble myself and trust that Jesus Christ has got us here to teach us something. I don't know what each one of you are need to learn from your specific trial. I don't know. But I do know that you're going to definitely learn it. Everyone has feelings of inferiority, condemnation, hopelessness from time to time. And this is me in a nutshell. I cannot fully enjoy life because of them. It seems like I am plagued every single day by either feeling inferior or guilty about something. And it causes depression. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, if I went to the doctor, I'd probably be... I mean, when I was in eighth grade, I was diagnosed with everything, you know what I mean? And I'm sure if I went there now, nothing would change. But we should not feel inferior or condemned because God redeemed this sin from us and its effects by the sacrifice of his precious son, Jesus Christ. Jesus really died on the cross. He bled. The blood ran down the wood of that cross and he hung his head and he died so that we wouldn't have to feel this way. The devil is a liar. I am so sick of Satan. He is just a real jerk. He just really likes to ruin people's lives and get them all worried and all concerned. And I can tell you, it doesn't stop with the people at church. It goes up the leadership. Because even the leadership, even the pastors of our church, even the anointed elders of our church, Satan sticks it to them too. I am so thankful to call Mary and Neil and Mary Jo my mother and father-in-law, because I'll tell you something, I can go to them and ask them for advice about anything that I need to, and they're going to give me good godly advice. And you know, that's why I don't ask them for advice very often.
Me too.
Because I know Mary Jo's going to be right. She's going
to
tell me the right godly thing. We're all sinners, and it's natural for us to feel guilty. However, there are several factors. Accusations of Satan. The Bible says that Satan constantly accuses God's people. Even the name Satan means accuser in the Hebrew language. When Satan accuses us, we feel a general condemnation that leads to hopelessness. Since there is really nothing we can do about it, this is different than the conviction of sin that comes by the Holy Spirit, which targets specific sin and leads us to repentance. You have to know the difference. If you do something wrong, the Holy Spirit's going to burden you with that until you repent. And it's got to be a true repentance. It can't be a fake repentance. And when you're pushing into Christ, when you're getting in the Word in the morning, in the evening, and you're going to Bible study, and you're going to church, and you're sitting there through the whole sermon, you don't go to the bathroom, and you're pushing in, and you feel the Holy Spirit, and you're making an effort, God gives you lots of grace. But eventually, you know what? This grace runs out. And it's time for you to start pushing in and proving that you're really on fire for Him. And the best way to prove that you're really on fire for Jesus is to be joyful during the trials. Amen. Let's go to Revelations chapter 12, verse 10. Amazing scripture. Revelations chapter 12, verse 10. This is an amazing little work of art right here. Everybody knows about Revelation.
Yep.
12:10. Then I heard, who's got it?
Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah have now come, because the accuser of our brothers has been thrown out, the one who accuses them before God day and night.
Amen. Day and night. Day and night. Many believe, you know, that until this time, Satan still had access to God. But here, his access is forever barred. He can no longer accuse people before God. He can no longer do that. You have really got to let this guilt go. It really, really bugs me. It really, really annoys me. Unrealistic stereotypes is another little trick. Society puts so much pressure on us to conform to these stupid stereotypes, and we may feel something is wrong with us if we don't match these stereotypes. If we accept the stereotypes, we will compare ourselves unfavorably with others who match those better than us. I know people that match stereotypes to a T. My good friend Lenny is Mr. Bike Guy. You know the guys that ride the bike? Perfect bod, gets on the shorts, tees, loves to ride the bike. He's the Bike Guy. I mean, he wears all the bike gear, Bike Guy.
He
and
likes
I
to work.
Like cyclist.
A cyclist guy.
I
never knew Bike Guy.
Bicycle
or Redmond.
He likes to work.
Why is it they have a bike path but they still
why do they
drive?
Go on the road? Get out
I
the
ask
road.
Him that. You know
get
what his answer is?
People.
His answer is because they're idiots.
So annoying.
I know it is. Let's not talk about bad bikes. I'm just saying.
Is he the guy that came to the Christmas party with the blonde?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. He's so nice.
He's
nice. Works his butt
church.
Off. Has a great work ethic.
Good.
Honest.
He's
and has integrity. Amen. One of the few actually that have been there that do. But let's go to harsh words. Many people look down on themselves because of something said to them in the past. Perhaps their parents, relatives, classmates, friends, teachers. They may carry those words around as though they were branded on their forehead. I took a very sad trip in Alaska this last time we were up. I didn't want to call my mom for the address because then she knew I'd be going over there. But I called her. And I asked her where the address was to the apartment complex that we lived in. And she didn't want to give it to me. And, you know, then finally she said, well, it was near the Dairy Queen down there on the end of Muldoon. And so we drove over there and I found this apartment complex. And I found this little dingy, ratty apartment we lived in. And all these, like, miserable, horrible things I'm not even going to waste my time telling you happened to me there. And I had to, like, Neil was with me. And, you know, after on the way back after we left that apartment, he was like, Phil, you know what? You have an amazing testimony you could share with people to get them to come to Christ. Don't think about your past. Don't think about what people said to you or did to you. Only think about your future and keep your eyes on Jesus. And I've been holding on to that. So some of us hold on to bad stuff from the past. Way, way, way bad, down, deep stuff. And a lot of us have wrong perspectives of God. Some people come from a home where there is little praise for success, but lots of punishment for failure. Can I get an amen if anybody grew up in a home like that? There wasn't low, wow, I'm really... And that's why you always hear me, if my son runs with the football a yard, I'm blowing it up. We're going for ice cream, man, because I grew up that way, where there was just punishment. Okay, there wasn't any reward for doing good. If we come from these types of environments, it's easy to have a wrong perception of God. You know, we see him as like some sort of cruel master that pulls us like puppets from heaven. It's not like that at all. And this is a big one for me. Past failure. My past experiences of failure make me feel inferior. I've sinned terribly. I've done horrible things in the past. I wasted half of my life doing stupid stuff when we were living in the world. And you know, one of the biggest things, and I never shared this with my wife, is that I feel like I wasted my life. I feel like my 20s were wasted. I don't even feel like my life began. My childhood was so miserable, I blocked it from my mind. And then we get to the point where I'm in my 20s, so I make up for it in my 20s, and then I meet Jamel in my 30s and get married and have kids, and my life began when I met her. I look back on that. Everything before I met her is a blur. And I need to get beyond that. And some of us have these issues. Do you guys, I mean, Missa, do you have anything in your past that you just kind of, you don't have to share it, but I mean, do you have something, you know, that you just like want to like just block out, just a failure experience, something you did wrong?
Pretty much, probably I'd say 12 to 19.
Amen. I hear that. Michelle?
But I also think it was a huge part of who I am, and it's really hard because so much happened in that time frame, but there's still a lot of guilt. And
yeah.
Oh, I would say that there's a lot of stuff that, but like Missa, it's like, if you didn't go through it, you wouldn't be the person you are today. You can't come to Christ unless you go through these trials. Or you can't have a perspective of what you are doing wrong until you
Amen.
Know what you're doing right. Mm-hmm. And so you can't disassociate those things. You can't pull them apart because that trial made you better or got you a chance to see the light. And so there's can't separate them out. So, absolutely, there's stuff in the past.
Me and Jamal were talking about this the other day about past, and I think the hard part is like sometimes it's easy to, if it's they're so drastic, like where you're at. A lot of people might have like a time frame or whatever, but sometimes like different periods of your time are so drastic that you do block them out. But then when they do come up, a lot to deal with, or you know, it just doesn't go away.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. I know exactly what you're talking about, Jim. You have something tucked in back there. You kind of.
Jim doesn't have a pass, I bet.
Yeah, he does, honey. not like that.
There's things that, yeah, sure.
Things that hurt.
You know, that I regret, or regret that happened to me, or that I still hold on to at times. Yeah, there's still stuff that affects me.
Ever since the Garden of Eden, Satan has used lies to destroy people and drive them further away from God. And that's why it always seems great when you leave church and you go out and hang out with your worldly friends and booze it up all weekend. Satan just leaves you alone. He's got you. He's pulled you months, maybe a year away from getting back to Christ. He will do everything he can to steal our joy and make us feel defeated. But we need to remember what Jesus said about Satan in John chapter 8, verse 44. You belong to your father, and you want to carry out your father's desire. The devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. We need to recognize the lies and accusations that Satan does. Whenever we feel condemned in a general sense, as though there is nothing we can do, that is the accusations of Satan. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, he will always direct us toward a solution or specific action that we can take. I need to repent. I need to say, Jamel, you were right a few days ago. I should have said I'm sorry. I should have said, you know what, you are right. Please forgive me. I want to be humbled. I want to change. Thank you so much for reminding me that. You know, the Holy Spirit will always direct us when we get condemned of what we should do. Always. Conviction from Holy Spirit is specific and guides us always. But accusations from Satan are always general and lead us to further defeat. He puts little sprinkles on you. You're going to lose your job. But you know what? She's cheating on you. Everybody's talking about you. Whatever your little fear is in your mind, going all the way back to that time you spent in high school or all those horrible things that happened in high school, whatever your fear is, my fear is always getting beat up by a bunch of people at the same time. You know, it stems from sixth grade, Chugiak, junior high, eight natives coming in the bathroom and letting me have it. And from time to time, I go back into that stupid bathroom. It hasn't been remodeled. And they still haven't fixed the toilet paper dispenser. Huh. It's like those old metal ones with the metal that comes out. Mm-hmm. And they were racking my head on that piece of metal. You know, and it's still there, all jagged and broken. But they bent it back into shape to hold the toilet paper. So my fear is having a bunch of people, five or six people, come up behind me and beat me up really bad. That's why I always looking behind me like at the Marymore Dog Park to this day. Because I never want to be taken off guard again. What is your fear? What happened to you back then that Satan uses to stick it to you? Remember, let's defeat Satan. Let's stand firm on God's promises. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all of our sins. We don't need to pay for our own sins again. His sacrifice was good enough to wash over everything that we've done. We need to repent and believe. And that's what we're going to do tonight at the end of the prayer. We're all going to repent. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, 14. Hebrews chapter 9, 14.
How much more than through the eternal spirit offered himself blemished to God, cleansed our conscience and acts that led to death so that we may serve the living God.
Amen. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciousness from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? Sinful deeds are more than just wrong actions. You know, doing bad stuff is more than just doing bad stuff. Ironically, these also include our attempts to reach God by being good enough. Our culture glorifies self-effort and personal achievement. It defines a successful person as one who obtains certain goals, financial goals, security, health, fitness. That is something that I've always recognized. And it's always upset me. You know, like I'll be sitting, I'm always bumping into semi-famous sports people. Probably because like I'm in Bellevue or Kirkland all the time. But I don't know who this guy was that I bumped into a few days ago. Some baseball guy. But everybody was Googling over him, you know. And I don't really follow sports that much, so I really wasn't that interested. And I don't even remember the guy's name, but I'm like, but I was waiting in line, and he was in front of me, and I just said, hey, man, you're going to go or I'm going to go? You know what I mean? He goes, oh, I'm sorry. And then he goes up there and goes, you know, and then I just walked off. And then when I was getting my car, he says, yeah, man, sorry about that. So he was interested in engaging me in conversation. I could have probably sat there and talked to him for 10 minutes, become his friend, because I'm the only one that ever did that. Everybody was like mooching over him, Googling over him. You know, no one was ever, they don't have any Googling.
Very different than, no,
Googling. Thank you. Googling, thank you for the correction. But hear the Bible in this
you're
verse.
You're probably Googling them too if he's famous.
Yeah.
Amen. But here the Bible gives us a different approach. This is a picture of successful living. Accept Jesus' sacrifice for your sins and abandon the futility of sinful deeds and let the blood of Christ purify your conscience. So that basically means have faith in Jesus, repent of your sinful deeds, and let the blood of Christ purify us. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Christ Jesus once and for all. And this forgiveness is given to us by grace, not by our own merit. I used to think that you earned this. No. It is a free gift that we cannot earn, but simply receive by faith when we repent. Truly repent. And that is why when you really get down on your knees, when you really clasp those hands together, not in front of everybody at church, in the privacy of your room, when your whole household is asleep, that is when God rewards you openly. And that is where you can feel the joy of the Holy Spirit when you truly repent. The more you really repent by faith is the more you can really receive by faith. I am telling you. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 through 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." It doesn't matter what we feel because we aren't saved by our emotions. We are cleansed from sin by God's actions. Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 8 verses 1 through 2 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." We have to start seeing ourselves as valuable in this care group and in our church. All of us. You know, I look around sometimes and I think, you know what? I'm not really doing anything here. Nobody really needs me. Nobody really cares about what I'm doing here. That's just a lie from Satan. Do you know how many people that you encourage, Rosemary, when you come to church? I see so many of those young girls looking over at you that sit in the middle. Jim and Michelle, you have no clue how much you encourage me. Seriously, when you come to care group, I feel like my family's here. I feel like I can finally worship God because I'm around comfortable people.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Melissa, I mean, you really encourage me. You're always here. Rain, sun, or shine. You're always here. What's that?
A woman of God.
She is a woman of God. And baby girl, you're always getting the house cleaned up for everybody every single Wednesday. Every single Wednesday, you always have food for people
too.
To eat. Well, why do the upstairs? Because it's destroyed by the time they leave anyway. We'll end with Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. Let's go there and look together. Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8. I want everybody to go there. Romans chapter 12, verse 3.
For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, through many, form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. Want me to keep going?
Sure.
We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophecy in accordance with your
gift. Amen.
If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously.
Amen.
If it is to lead, is to do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, what it comes down to, guys, what this whole Bible study comes down to, what this whole Word of God that's been given to you tonight comes down to, is healthy self-esteem. We need to have healthy self-esteem. We need to rise up in the morning and know that we are children of God. And we're doing a purpose for the kingdom. We have to rise up every morning, and it's time for us to be mature. Sometimes they feel like we're acting like immature Christians. We've been through trials before. I wish we could rewind 10 years about people losing homes and not being able to make the mortgage. And is the baby going to be retarded? Remember when Tristan had that ultrasound with two holes in his brain? Do you remember all the jobs that people have lost in here when Missa was trying to find work? And I mean, we have gotten through so much junk, and now we forget it. We have to know the basis of our self-worth, our identity in Christ. Apart from Him, we are not capable of very much by external standards. In Him, we are valuable and capable of worthy service. Evaluating yourself by the worldly standards of success and achievement can simply cause you to think too much about your worth in the eyes of others and miss what God is looking at, which is the inside, the heart. I know that many of you guys have heard this a million times before, but it's in the heat of the battle that Jesus tries to find out exactly what your worth is. Now is the time we need to be praising Jesus. Now is the time we really need to be on fire for Christ. Amen? Okay, well, let's go ahead and go into prayer then.